I mean, even if I'm 95 or 100, whenever I kick the bucket, my father lived to be 94. I'm living a long and strong life. I'm going to shoot for 100, and if I make it to 95, I think I did good. But, you know, just because there's sickness in your family, or just because somebody in your family died of cancer, just because somebody was a raving lunatic, doesn't mean you have to be. Doesn't mean you have to receive what the devil's got. And, you know, that don't make them a bad person. Christian people that ain't taught the Word of God, the Bible says in Hosea 4 and 6, could be 6 and 4, my people, God's people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What she was talking about this morning is whatever you understand in this word, whatever you can grab a hold of in this word, you can take it and run with it. See, do you know how much God believes in you? He came down to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. You know, Abraham in the Old Testament talked with God face to face, and they cut up a cow, they cut up a beast, and they walked through it, and they entered a blood covenant. And everything that Abraham learned to confess, and even though Abraham was a little iffy, you know, a couple of things in the Bible, you know, he told one of the kings that his wife was his sister because he was afraid they were going to whack him and take his wife. You know, but in the end of it, one of them kings went to try to take the man of God's wife, and he got sick and almost died. Abraham had to pray for him, and he said, "What is this you have done to me? You know, you should have told me she's your wife." Well, he issued a decree and told nobody to mess with his wife. And, you know, he got well. You know, what God wants to do in your life. Somewhere in Brenda Babe's life, she decided she wanted to be a nurse. But the most important thing in Brenda Babe's life is one day she decided she might want to be a mom to her kids instead of a strung-out drug addict. And she said, "Hey, can somebody take me to the rehab?" And Brother Angelo called me, and I threw my shirt on and took a shower, and I said, "Let's go." And we did that. And then we had to go back because you were so messed up. We had to take you to the hospital, and they had to clean you out to make sure that you wouldn't go into some DTs or something and bring you back. But, you know, I heard people out of their mouths say, "Well, she'll never make it." I heard people say that about me. I said, "Oh, she'll make it. She's done." And, man, she's one of the best moms I know. I mean, she's at those ball games for her kids. I mean, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of good moms, but Brenda Babe turned out to be a great mom. Amen? Now, somewhere in your heart, God has put something. Because I said something, when people don't get their prayers answered, I said on my last video, the Bible says that you can ask amiss. You know, I like to have a jet plane so me and Brother Angelo could fly to Chicago and get a hot dog. But see, God, I mean, you know, that would be nice. But, you know, that might be asking a little bit amiss because probably needs, you know, maybe some plane tickets or something right now this time. And you probably, if you're going to need a plane, you're going to need to use it for more than just going and getting hot dogs. I mean, I hear so much, I was going to say the word crap, but you can't say that in church. I hear so much stuff, but I just said it. I know that was a joke because it could have been a worse word. She was looking at me with these big eyes like, "What's he going to say?" I hear Joel Osteen, he's got this, he's got that, you know, he can't be. All of these mega churches, look, man, I don't know what anybody's got, but I know Joel Osteen is an accomplished author, and he has so many first, you know, number one selling books on self-help with Bible verses in it, and he uses God's word. I used to watch Joel's dad when Joel was in the sound booth doing all that. I didn't even know there was a Joel, but his dad was on there, and he was preaching, and his church started in a feed mill. And worse than that, and I don't think you're not bad if you've been a Baptist, but John Osteen was a Baptist, a Southern Baptist, and somehow he just happened to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they booted him out of the Southern Baptist ministry because you can't have the Holy Ghost and be a Southern Baptist or whatever Baptist affiliation he was. So he started his own church, Lakewood. Now Lakewood's in a basketball field and a basketball stadium. And if you watch that, there's more people than I can count in there. So I'm not going to be an idiot and say, "Oh, man, that's not a man. I don't know what's not a God. You know, if it wasn't of God, I don't think it would be." And, you know, at the end of all of our lives, we're going to stand before God, and the words that we say is going to be judged according to what Pastor Kelly said this morning. And this week, I've been meditating with God, and I've been saying, "God, there's some changes I need to make in my life. I need to be more soul-minded. Because I've watched a lot of people die, people at work, young people, younger than me. And I watched Farrell Lowe. He was 55, and he fell out with a heart attack right at work, and they took him in there. And before anybody could get there to work on him, Farrell was most likely, he was his spirit was in the everlasting life. And before they could take him to the ambulance, I was walking out looking at the ambulance going home, and somebody said that he wasn't coming back. He was already gone. He was gone at work. So I've been meditating on my own existence. God, what is there I can change? God, what is there I can do for you more? You know, 63 years old. I'm not going to slow down. People say, when are you going to retire? When am I going to retire? When I figure out I don't need any money in the bank. I mean, when God tells me, hey, I need you to, you know, stop doing something. God ain't told me that. I don't really listen to people. There's people in my life that if I would have listened to, I would have been making $100 a week. I'm not listening to just anybody. I'm trying to listen to God. And whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do. And then not only if any two of us agree as to touching anything on earth, or where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You know, these songs we're talking about, he is here. He's in the midst of us. Now, does anybody need more of God in their life? Does anybody just need God in their life? Has anybody got something they can give up? Because this is what I was talking about. The Bible talks about crucifying your flesh. That means killing it, killing what you need. Now, last week, 2 weeks ago, I started to help my wife to get a vehicle. And we went up there and we looked at a used car. And I immediately gravitated to this nicer car that was new. And I was trying to figure out, and I could hear God tell me, why would you pay these idiots $27,000 for this used car? It's got a big scratch on it, and they're trying to hustle you for more money to fix the scratch because it's a used car. And then they're trying to sell you the warranty when you could get this one over here for $30,000, and the warranty comes with it. Now, in all my little greediness past ways, I would have been thinking, oh, the $27,000, man, that's the deal of the lifetime. But I listened to God, and I did some things that I thought, God, and I didn't do it all on my own. I called some people and asked them to pray with me, and I told them what I was doing. And Brother A helped me, and Sister Mill helped me. Pastor K prayed, and I didn't do it like the first day we was there. We left. And then later on in the week, I called them, and I told them, look, I've talked to my bank. They'll give me $30,000 in cash, and we're thinking about going to Russellville, and I've already talked to people, and they're telling me they'll pay the sales tax, they'll do this, and they do that. Oh, no, let me talk to my manager. And my manager says that if you use Kia, we can probably sell that to you for $30,000, but the $32,500 bonus money is going to have to come off that. So we went up there, and, you know, I don't even got a new car. But here I am talking, making sure they're not rigging her up. Now my wife's got a better car than me. And, you know, to say that I'm not a little selfish, that would be a lie. We'd have to have communion service right now. But to see how happy she was to get that car, to see how happy she was that she never said, I've never had a new car, that was a good payment. You know, because God's got something for me too. You know, I find that every time I put somebody else first, mainly God, and I listen to what God's telling me, God's just started with Dwayne. Man, I'm proud of Dwayne. Dwayne's like one of my heroes. You know, there's a lot of heroes in here. Lots of heroes. Tommy's one of my heroes. He got him a job at Walmart. He's still there. How many years, Tommy? 17. That ain't no 30, but, man, that's pretty close. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You don't have to put it up there. I'm just going to quote it. The Bible says that God has a plan for your life, and it is good and not evil. He has plans to give you a future. So one of my questions right now is, why would you take the devil's lies? Why would you be listening to the devil who says, you can't do this, you can't do that? Oh, don't go out. Don't go out. It's dangerous outside. You know, if you're going to be successful, I got one guy a job at Walmart one time, and he called me and goes, I was on the way to work, and I heard voices telling me not to go to work. Well, man, don't get me going. I've heard voices a lot of times telling me not to go to work, and they were Sam McElhaney's voice telling them that. But, you know, to be successful in life and to have money, you have to go to work. Of course, the guy got fired, and, you know, I don't know where he wound up. I mean, he never really connected with Christ. But if God's got a plan for you, it's not to be broke. It's not to be busted. It's not to be disgusted. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, you guys can put that up there. That's on the first one on the verse. I'm going to tell you something. God never changes his mind. God never changes his mind about his word or how blessed you can be. Once you make your mind up to just put Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and put him first in your finances. Put him first in your life. Because at my house, God is first. And then I'm trying to take care of my wife, the church family, and everything else God tells me to do. Then my work, my job, wherever God tells me. Sometimes God will send me to pray for somebody. Usually, I'll pray for somebody right where I'm at. And they'll start telling me their problems. And I'll just lay hands on them and say a prayer. You know, at some point in your life, it's not all about what you want God to do for you. You got to get up like John F. Kennedy said, it's not what your country can do for you, but it's what you can do for your country. And at some point in your life, you got to say, because God will do some things for you, but you got to say, God, I don't want nothing, but what can I do for you today? Where can I serve you at today? Where is my place in the body of Christ that I can do something for you today? Is there anybody that want to do something for God today? Some people say, my wife told me, like I said this before, she said, you just like doing those videos because you like to hear yourself talk. Well, there's a part of that that's true. Maybe I'm practicing for when the next time I get up here. But every time I do a video, there's 10, 15, 20 people. Some of them are in California. Some of them are my kids. Some of them are people I used to do drugs with. And some of them are sending me prayer requests and stuff. Some of them are feeling the Holy Ghost. And all I do is do the same thing that we do in church. The same prayer of faith that we do here in church. The same word of God that Pastor Kelly and Brother Angelo has preached in church for 30 years. Is there some different ways to go about it? Yes. But you know, at the end of the day, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, it's sort of hard to ask him something. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, you know, God wants you to have a hard time. You know, that way you learn. You know, I've heard this crazy thing. Oh, you get sick because God wants you to, you know, have faith to get over that. Oh, if you don't have faith enough, God can't heal you from being sick. The Bible says every man has a measure of faith. That's even not born-again people. There's people I see that use the faith method, and they come out. There's people that believe they were going to be a football star when they was a kid or a rock star when they was a kid, and they started practicing, and they're rock stars. But they're not going to be like when you get Jesus in your life, you have a fulfillment because you have God's plan working in your life. Does that make you high when you do those videos or you tell somebody about Jesus at work, Dwayne?
Yeah, it's like satisfaction.
And now, sometimes it's disappointing because they don't want to receive it. But after you've done what God's told you to do, I've never spoke the word of God and not got high from it. I used to go down and watch all the homeless people, and we tuck them clothes, and we helped E.T. feed them. And they would let me share for a few minutes. And all I seen out there out of those hundreds of people sometimes was me sitting out there when I was homeless. And, you know, for a brief moment, I was homeless right there with them, even though it'd been 20 years. And sometimes JD and Nina would pray for somebody, and they'd bring somebody, and I would lead her to the Lord. And a few weeks later, she would be dead. And I would think in my mind, what if I didn't go down there this day? What if I just said, no, I want to stay at home? I can worship at home with some worship music on. Sometimes you can, if God's telling you to do that. Sometimes God wants you to stay home and rest. But sometimes God wants you to be somewhere, and you really need to be listening and be where God tells you to be. Amen? In Haggai 1, chapter 1, verse 5 and 7, the Bible says, and listen to this here, this shouldn't be a major revelation for everybody. Now, therefore, saith the Lord. That means, listen, God's about to speak. Now, he spoke in the Bible, he spoke this, and he's speaking in here. Consider your ways. All week long, I was considering my ways. What is there I can do better? What is there I can do more? God, just show me, because I'll do it. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages earns them to put in a bag with holes in it. Thus saith the Lord, once again, listen, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Remember, I asked you when I first got up here, why is this happening to me, God? Why isn't things working out in my life? Why isn't things working out in my finances? Why do I feel depressed a lot? Consider your ways. In Isaiah 1 and 18 and 19, I don't like having money come to me and then it disperse. Anytime money comes to me and I don't manage it right, it's because I didn't do right. But, you know, I've been considering my ways. You know, when you're 63, you don't want to act like you're 20, like you got forever. You just need to consider your ways no matter where you're at today. Isaiah 1, verse 18 and 19. Why? You know, why, God, did this happen? Why did this person pass away early? Why did I lose my son? Why did I lose my father? Why? Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let's settle this. Or in the King James, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. If you only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. You will have plenty if you listen to God. Has God ever told anybody to do something and then you messed it, you didn't do it? Maybe talk to somebody, share with somebody. You might have been in a public place. I used to have a problem with that when I first got saved, but there was a boldness that come on me. And no matter what it is, anything God's ever told me to share or do, has always worked out like with 120% benefit. Just knowing that you did what God said to do. And here's another one. Just knowing that God would speak to an idiot like me and use me to do something positive for his kingdom, you know, and breaking free of the lies of the devil, because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, you know. And the same God wants to use you wherever you're at. Wherever you're at in your life. You know, one of the biggest highs in my life was when little Addie came in. She came over and gave me a hug, let me pick her up and give her a little kiss on the cheek. Now, most kids usually just kick me, spit at me, and tell me to get lost. But I'm talking about my grandson Woodrow, you know, but he ain't been in church for a while. We got to get him in church or something, you know, but. I'm going to read one other verse, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And I talked about dying to myself, doing something for somebody else. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, and 10, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You got to really pay attention when you see that God saying this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There was a guy at work, and his wife just left him at Thanksgiving. She didn't tell him why. She brought the police over there, got some stuff. Man, I watched this guy, man, and though he's heartbroken, he just says, whatever happens, God reigns. And the other day, she transferred to another place to work. And I was talking to her, and I was trying to talk sense to her. And she was telling me, this is going to be my last week, and this is my and I'm going to so-and-so. And I said, have you told your husband that? Why don't you tell your husband that? At least let him know what you're doing. And me and him will never see eye to eye. I said, you should tell your husband that. And then, see, he had told me some things wasn't right, you know, in her head with her spirit. And I seen her change, like, from trying to be friendly and say goodbye to that, like, sort of psycho look, like, me and him could never get eye to eye no more. And, like, she'd done sold out her marriage of 15 years, and they'd been together since they were kids. Now, he, who I'm concerned about, is more better than me. Because, like, first I told him all the legal angles to cover himself. He didn't really want to hear that because whatever happens, he says, God reigns. I sold these guys a house. And you know, people are asking, I don't, there's some things I can't discuss because people have told me don't discuss it, but pray. And, you know, I've watched this guy be heartbroken, but I've watched him stand because he knows a little bit about God, and he said that I actually feel more peace that she's gone because of all the turmoil and all the confusion and all the rebellion. And he goes, and I'm still believing God that she'll go and that God will cause her to come back and see that everything's okay. But he says, I'm not going to question anything. I'm just going to believe God. Now, I've never seen somebody, I've never stood that strong in hard places like that. I admire the guy. The same guy tells me things to help me with my life, with my marriage. One time, I used to like going to work and hating work. I hated it just more than a passion. And one day, I mean, I was angry, just angry. I used to come to church like that, and Brother Angelo said, I wish you'd just get through this, whatever it is. Wednesday used to be the best service of all because it's like I knew the week was coming to an end. And one day he told me, you want to be a man of God or not? He goes, and he didn't tell me in that nice of a tone, because if you do, you're going to have to act a little better and act accordingly. But if you don't want to be a man of God, I guess you can keep acting like that. I said, I want to be a man of God. In the same tone, he brought it to me. And it don't come easy. You got to strive. You got to show up. You got to suit up. You got to try to be hear what God tells you to be every morning. Because He taught me, I get up and say, "Into Your hands I commit my spirit, Lord. Live or die, but I believe I'm going to live. I'm going to live long, and I'm going to live strong. And I believe that, Lord, I'm in a covenant of increase with You. Every day I'm in a covenant of increase. Every day I go out looking for the blessing." Not the curse, because the blessing is on my life. But you have to get up with that mindset. You have to start changing some things, your confession. And for real, Pastor Kelly touched on it this morning, Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes to the storehouse. You know, you got to start doing something for God if you want God to do something for you. Now, will He help you? Will He answer your prayers? Will He keep you safe? Yes. But if you want the full covenant of God's benefits, you're going to have to do a little something for God. I've done this. This week, I've come and I talked with God and I reasoned them out. And I'm always eating the good of the land. I mean, I didn't get any food for the last couple weeks because I was out here working, serving God. And it's not, you know, if I needed food, I know I could talk to Pastor Kelly, but I don't really need food. I've been having to get rid of some stuff at the house myself. Because most of the time we just eat wherever we want to eat. That's not because we're special. That's because we're always working, and it's easier to do that. But, you know, I'm still not against anybody donating some soup or sandwiches to me. You know, don't like take it totally to the bank. The last verse, last wrap-up is Psalms 103. I'm going to start at 1, 2, 3. And the top of the thing says, the benefits of the Lord. You know, you could say this, the benefits of serving the Lord. The benefits of putting God first. The benefits of just doing the right thing with God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, I have a job, and just on a couple medicines, I see Cindy's little thing from her job in insurance. It says $2,000, and it looks like a bill, and she's all tripping. You know, do I owe that much? And I said, no, that's what they paid for that medicine, that Ozempic or whatever you take, and a few things. I said, you paid $75 for it. According to the insurance, they paid all of this for it. I said, that's, you know, the job that's killing you. It would probably kill you not to have this medicine too, you know. But I look at mine, and there's like $1,200, $1,400, $1,500. And, you know, they don't put that on your check on the W-2 at the end of the year. But if you take the time and you're taking any kind of medicine at all, that's a lot of extra benefits. Some jobs don't give those benefits. You know, I walk in healing, but I walk in wisdom, and God gave us doctors to help us to live longer. But, you know, I believe that I'm in divine health. But God, whether you have insurance at work or not, God has some benefits for you today. And I'm just going to, one other verse. Pastor Kelly, I was trying to get this verse, and I called it Psalms 1, 120, 120, 110. Anyway, I just quoted it, sort of. But when you used it this morning, it pierced my heart, because I was trying to use that. I was preaching off the cuff on the video. In Psalms 107, verse 20, I had 120, verse 7 or something, was the last verse. We're talking about God's Word. We're talking about putting God's power in your life. He sent his word. He sent his word, and he healed you and delivered you from your destructions, from your diseases, from your distresses, from your destructions. Anybody been worried about anything? I mean, if you got anything in life, if you got kids that ain't saved, if you got a financial statement or a bank account and you have to monitor it, you're not necessarily worried, but you have to keep track of it. But God says he sent his word to take care of us, to heal us. In Psalm 138, verse 8, I quote this all the time. The Lord shall perfect everything that concerns you. He really wants you to have a nice life. He wants those desires of your heart, the ones that he puts in there, to come to pass. You know, if God tells you he's going to send you a husband, you should be acting like he's going to send you a husband. Sometimes it's a little more than just saying it. Sometimes it's, God, what do you want from me? Make me ready. Put me in the right place at the right time. And whether it's a husband or a job or finances or a healing, or whether it's somebody that's in your life that you really want to change. The only one that can change them is God. The only one that can draw them by the Holy Spirit is God. And sometimes, like Brother Angelo quotes, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Know when to walk away and know when to run. I didn't learn that until I was married to this crazy girl. A few of them. And I should have ran the first time I met her or dated her. But you know what? God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he wants to help you. And if anybody needs prayer, me, Brother Angelo, Pastor Kelly, anybody needs God to do something in your life, I would
say. You might all be okay, but we promised you just a little bit ago, if there's anybody that wants prayer, please come up here. And if you don't, that's fine. The service is great. Just whatever you want.